You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Rudy Tomjanovich was inducted into the Hall of Fame, player and coach. And I thought he brought up, of all of the things said this weekend, then they were wonderful speeches. The composure that Vanessa Bryant showed is lost on me. Like, how do you do it? Like, how do you get up there and do it with such composure and grace? And then she ended her speech this way.
Congratulations, baby. All of your hard work and sacrifices paid off. You once told me, if you're going to bet on someone, bet on yourself. I'm glad you bet on yourself, you overachiever. You did it. You're in the Hall of Fame now. You're a true champ. You're not just an MVP. You're an all-time great. I'm so proud of you. I love you forever and always. Kobe Bean Bryant.
Whew. It's the third time I've heard it. Still hits me, man. But just Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan didn't have any notes. Tim Duncan just talked. We never heard from Tim when he played. He never cared about any of that. It's just like a taller version of John Stockton from the standpoint of, I just play basketball. Like, I don't need anything else. And he got up and he just spoke from the heart about, well, everybody, including Greg Popovich, where you just, like, those are really poignant speeches. You know, Kevin Garnett kept trying to compliment Tim Duncan, but I know there's this intense rivalry, and KG would have to say, no, I'm serious, you know, because Tim is probably going, yeah, right, okay, yeah, KG, all right. It just wonderful moments. I mean, I love this. I've been to the Basketball Hall of Fame. The first time I went there was when Maravich got inducted. And it's just one of those where you just walk around, you know, and it comes alive. The voices come alive in there. And to see all of those greats there, and Michael Jordan was there, Kim Mulkey, former Baylor head coach, who was a great point guard in her own right, now going to LSU, she got inducted. It's just wonderful. It's a celebration of the sport for all of the great things. And Rudy Tomjanovich got up there, and I did not expect this to come out of his mouth.
I want to speak up for Robert Horry to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. He is truly a legendary player. He made so many clutch shots. He's got 7 rings to prove it. This is where he belongs.
I went, whoa, I got a topic for Monday's show. Because we brought this up before. We've had Robert on before to talk about this. And you don't want to, when you bring up Robert Horry, yes, part of 7 championship teams, Big Shot Bob, but he was an average regular season player. He had less than 8,000 career points. He started about 30% of the time. Like, what is a Hall of Famer? We get caught up in stats. It's all about stats. We've joked about Julian Edelman. You know, you can't write the history of these sports without Julian Edelman, and you can't do it without Robert Horry. Now, does that make you a Hall of Famer? Neither made the Pro Bowl, neither made an All-Star team. I love the conversation. I like that we don't forget some of these players who did contribute, knew their roles. But then how far do you extend it? If I put Robert Horry into the Hall of Fame, I'm putting Julian Edelman into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Contributions, big games, MVP of a Super Bowl, playoff numbers. Do I put Derek Fisher in the Basketball Hall of Fame? He had more points in the regular season. He had 10,000 career points. He won 5 rings. You know who has the most postseason games of all time? Derek Fisher. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. I like the discussion. But I don't like getting to the point where you then denigrate a player, and I don't want to do that. Robert Horry contributed on a big stage, and I applaud his former coach, Rudy Tomjanovich, for giving him a shout-out there and giving me a little content today that I can bring up to Reggie Miller a little bit later on. So, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. McLevin, you have a poll question for me today.
So we've been workshopping a Lakers poll question, but before we get to that, there's a million Robert Horry or this guy's career.
Ooh. Okay, hold on with that. By the way, this program brought to you by M-Drive, the supplement I take every day. You get stronger, leaner, and helps you stay up with these younger guys. Go to mdrivedan.com, free shipping, 60-day guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. All right.
Well, I think we have the perfect one. It's just been handed to our lap.
Okay.
Would you rather have Robert Horry's career or Chris Webber, the new Hall of Famer's career? Because Chris never won the national title in college basketball, and I don't think won one in the NBA.
He did not.
But had a lot of all-stars and was obviously a transformative figure.
Yeah, he's going in next year, along with Ben Wallace, Chris Bosh. Yes, Paul.
I'm going to get a little more extreme on Robert Horry. Would you rather Robert Horry's career, rings to go with it, or Karl Malone's career? And you're the greatest player in NBA history to not win a title. He's considered that. And it's really, Barkley might be second, Ewing might be third, et cetera, et cetera. But Karl Malone's first ballot, he's got everything. He's got the numbers. He does not have a ring.
Yeah.
Robert Horry's got seven, and he's responsible for some of the seven. He's not just along for the ride. He's not Jack Haley on the Bulls.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah. I would take Karl Malone's career. I mean, it's nice to win titles. I get it. And Robert Horry has seven. And Karl Malone came up short twice against Michael Jordan. He's the second all-time leading scorer in the history of this sport. Durable. Now, those guys played 82 games. No load management. They played. I would take Karl Malone. Would I take Robert Horry or Chris Webber? That one's a little tougher. C. Webb was great. Made a lasting impression in college. No titles. I'd probably say Robert Horry over C. Webb. When Robert Horry walks down the street, they go, there's Big Shot Bob. Now they might go, who's the tall guy there? They might do that. But if you know Robert Horry, you immediately go, oh, it's Big Shot Bob. And he's got those titles. Yes, he.
Right. I mean, there's something to be said about people thinking you're underappreciated or underbelly. Like, man, that dude belongs in the Hall of Fame. And then you're like, yeah, that's right. I do. Thanks.
Yeah, McLovin.
I'm looking at the all-time scoring leader list. I got one name here. How about Robert Horry versus Carmelo Anthony? Is that even? I mean, Carmelo did win that Syracuse.
Yeah, I would take Melo's career.
But like Seton was saying, the expectations for Melo were so high that he almost feels like he underperformed, where Horry exceeds his expectations.
Well, Horry wasn't good enough to be a starter, but he was on good teams where he wasn't good enough to be a starter. Melo was good enough to be a starter, therefore you expect more out of him. You know, he had to get 25 a night. But he also won a title at Syracuse.
Yes, like five times as much money, too.
Yes, he did. He made a lot of money. Still making a lot of money. Yes, Paulie.
What if I dropped it down a little bit and said someone like Steve Nash, who has two MVPs, no rings?
Or Robert Horry?
Or Robert Horry, who's got seven rings that he's responsible.
I'd rather be Steve Nash.
Close?
I'm MVP. Two times.
Allen Iverson.
Man, Iverson.
Sorry, that's tough.
Iverson changed the game. Changed the game.
Household name at 18.
Changed the game in a variety of ways. How he looked, what he said, how he played. Yeah.
Okay, I'm dropping it down a little. No offense. Chris Paul or Robert Horry. Assuming Chris Paul does not win a title but finishes as one of the top 10 point guards of all time.
Do I get the State Farm commercials?
Yes.
Oh,
that's good cash. Okay. Good cash.
I might go Robert Horry there. Like Chris is, I hope Chris finishes in the top five in MVP because I do think that he has been incredible with his veteran leadership for that team. By the way, the Joker's winning the MVP. I mean, it just is. Maybe Steph finishes second. Chris Paul finishes third. The voting has to be finished. Voting had to be in, I believe, as of last night or this morning, I believe. Once the regular season's over, then you put your ballot in. Yeah, McClub.
One more, Ori. We should just get it out of the way, head it off so it's not here. Our hour three guest, Reggie Miller versus Robert Horry, because I'm sure people are going to tweet
us.
Reggie, obviously a Hall of Famer.
Yes. I wonder if Reggie would trade his career for Robert Horry's career. Reg got into the finals. Had great battles with Jordan. Yes, he.
Winning is a lot of fun.
It is.
Winning is a lot of fun. Allegedly.
Yeah.
I've heard it's a blast.
But it's like, okay, let's say you're a SportsCenter anchor and SportsCenter wins the Sports Emmy. Or you're the host of a show that show is being singled out.
Right.
So there's a lot of Robert Horrys at ESPN. There aren't many.
Allen Iversons.
Well, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Somehow I'm trying to credit myself here.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I didn't do a very good job. Yes, Paul.
I think Fritzy has a Sports Emmy or two for loosely being associated with SportsCenter back in the day.
Yeah.
But does that still counts? It goes on the mantle. He was associated with SportsCenter.
Does it really count?
Hell yeah, it
counts.
Ask Todd.
He's got two of them.
Hell yeah, it counts.
Yeah, it's like the equipment manager gets a championship ring.
So much hate going on right now in the studio for Todd's two Emmys.
I just complimented him. Most people don't know. It's a total.
Yes, Todd.
I think there's a little more to it than the equipment manager. I'm not exactly on the front lines where I'm like anchoring SportsCenter, but it does take a group of people to put that show together.
Well, in the industry, being the booker is known as like the equipment manager of the show.
Yeah, like you hand out jerseys and towels.
I know. That's why I've always insisted on talent coordinator or talent producer as anything other than booker.
Senior just talent
doesn't
coordinator.
Doesn't have a great
I think it's towel. Talent coordinator.
It just sounds shady. Booker sounds like bookie. It just sounds like...
How about we take a break here?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Great columnist for the L.A. Times, star of Around the Horn, Bill Plaschke, joining us on the program. Bill, thanks for joining us. Level of concern over... Repeating, the Lakers or the Dodgers right now?
More people are freaking out about the Lakers, really freaking out. What's LeBron James doing in the game last night? So late in a blowout, which it didn't matter, and he turned his ankle again. Yeah, people think the Dodgers, and I agree, the Dodgers, they've got a lot of season left. They got great pitching. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be fine. They may not be the best team in baseball history, as I predicted before the season. Not one of my finer moments, but they're gonna be fine. The Lakers, people are freaking out because LeBron's, you know, they don't know how LeBron's ankle is. AD's fragile. If they win this thing, it'll be LeBron's greatest achievement ever, because no team's ever come from a 7 seed to win it. No team's ever had to win 17 games to win it. And they got to do it on LeBron's back, and he's been hurt most of the year, and he keeps getting hurt. And AD's always – you notice when AD hits the floor, he's always wincing, he's always grimacing, he's always groaning. So he's got all that going for him. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of concern about the Lakers. I think people think they'll beat Golden State, or at least they'll get into 7 or 8 seed, and they'll probably win the first round. But I don't think people think they can beat the Clippers. And I think that's what – people are really concerned about out here.
Do you think the Clippers tried to avoid the Lakers strategically?
Absolutely. So did the Nuggets. They were both fighting each other, trying to invest all their players. Absolutely, they're trying to avoid the Lakers. They're trying to wait to get them to the last round of the conference finals. But that may not work. By then, the Lakers could be in rhythm, and LeBron could have his confidence, and they could be rolling by then. I think you want to get the Lakers early.
Yeah, but, you know, I agree with that. But I was wondering about with LeBron and load management. Like, do you think that there's any chance that maybe he, you know, stayed out even longer just as precautionary measures so he'd be ready?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I wrote before the season he should take at least one or 2 month vacation. He was mad from the very start. Remember this, Dan. He was upset at the 71-game break. That's all they had. He wanted to start the season after January. So he was upset about that already. Yes, I think absolutely he held out. And that's why I think the sky's not falling. I think LeBron and AD, I think they're both going to be fine. I think the Lakers are going to win another championship. But I think one of the reasons is they're going to wake up a month from now. Everybody's going to realize how rested LeBron is and how rested AD is. And I think he nursed that ankle, and I think he clearly wanted the vacation. And smart for him. The NBA messed up schedule this year, Dan. The NBA was so messed up. You all talked about it on the show ad nauseum. All the injuries, all the forced games, the rush games, the compressed schedule. It made for a terrible, terrible regular season. And LeBron was just getting, was just paying him back. He was just getting his.
They do well against Steph Curry, but there's always that if Steph somehow goes crazy here.
Steph can't score 100 points. I mean, can he?
Well, but let's say he gets 40-something. Like, yeah, when does it become dangerous here?
Oh, he's got to get – I just don't think it ever becomes dangerous. I just don't think that's – I think the Warriors, they're great to get this far. They're a worthy opponent. But, no, Steph's their whole team, and I don't think the Lakers think that either. I think their sights are set on Phoenix right now, I think, probably. I think they think they could beat Golden State. I would agree with them on that. I don't think this is – but it'll be the most watched game. Remember the last time they played, it was like 30 million people watched it. There'll be it's just going to be the most watched playoff game this early ever in history. But I just don't think it'll be much of a contest.
But do you think he truly believes Steph Curry is the MVP? Because his buddy Chris Paul has been equally valuable for the Phoenix Suns, but LeBron campaigning late for Steph Curry?
No, LeBron thinks he should be the MVP. he always does think he's just saying that. He was just saying that to jack up the game and get, and maybe get in Steph's head a little bit. That's what he was saying. Yeah, no, I don't think he believes. I think he would vote for Chris Paul. He'd probably vote for Joel Embiid before he'd vote for Jokic. He'd vote for Jokic probably. He'd vote for himself. He doesn't think – yeah, LeBron doesn't think anybody should be MVP ever but him any year ever, period.
It's Bill Plaschke of the L.A. Times, contributor to Around the Horn. What was your
Dan, when I started this show, I was a star. Now I'm just a contributor. I'll be lucky to be a freelancer by the time the show ends.
You said star. I said contributor. So I covered both. Woody Page just texted me and said he's a contributor. You're not a star. So
he's right. He's actually correct about that. That's the accurate.
Your takeaway from the Hall of Fame weekend was what?
It sucked because Kobe wasn't there. I don't care what we wrote a million stories before the ceremonies. We talked about Kobe and wrote the whole history of his life. It was about Kobe and he wasn't there. I mean, it really stunk to me. It was really, obviously Tim Duncan's speech was incredible. I thought that was really, really, really incredible. Him talking about Pop was really incredible. Rudy T's speech was off the hook, off the butt. I miss Kobe, and Kobe should have been there to exchange jabs with the guys. He should have been there to thank, Vanessa didn't thank any Laker. Did not mention any Laker in her speech because she didn't know what Kobe would have said. She wasn't going to speak for her late husband. So a lot of Lakers went unrecognized. I think a lot of the emotion was drained out of the thing. I just thought I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to be emotional about it. I think it's so cool that Kobe's in, and I'm glad he's in, but it really sucked that he wasn't there. It really stunk. It was really, I thought the whole thing was just a real hard, it was real painful. It was supposed to be celebrating his greatness, and I thought we just remember the absence of his greatness, and it was really hard. I thought it was hard.
Rudy Tomjanovich, though, grabbed some headlines when he said Robert Horry belongs in the Hall of Fame.
He does. He absolutely does. I was here for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Big Shot Bob, he was the best player I've ever seen under pressure in the finals. In how many rings does he have? I mean,
Seven.
No, I think if you're going to put – different people like that in the Hall of Fame. I think absolutely he belongs in the Hall of Fame. For what, if we're going to celebrate championships, if we're going to celebrate pressure shots and pressure players, and I loved it because he told me once, the reason he was so good in April and May instead of early in the season is that the Kings, the LA Kings, who shared the Staples Center with him, were done playing, so they got the ice out from under the floor, so the floor was warm. So his feet weren't cold in April and May, as long as the Kings kept losing. That's a true story. I think he should be. And he's a great guy, too. So put great guys in the Hall of Fame. Rudy T's in the Hall of Fame. Put Ori in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, but is Derek Fisher a Hall of Famer?
Well, he made a couple. I don't think he had the impact that Ori had.
But
he had
five titles. He's got more career points. He's played in more playoff games than anybody in NBA history.
Yeah, but who's made more bigger shots than Ori for different teams? Also, Fisher did it for the same team. How many different teams did Ori win the championships with?
But if I can put Ori in, then all of a sudden am I putting Julian Edelman into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, maybe so. I just think we talk about championships so much, and then we don't do anything to celebrate them. And these guys, certain guys, are like that. And but I know I'm in a minority. I'm sure most people think Rob shouldn't be in there. But I think I was there and I saw it. I saw his big shots. All right, he had the shot like to beat Sacramento in Game 4 of the conference finals. You know, he had that great 3-pointer. After that game, Glenn Frey of the Eagles walked past me in the press row, pounded his fist on the press table, looked at me and said, "The Eagles never wrote a song this good," and kept walking. That was Big Shot Bob. That was Robert Ori.
Explain the logic of the Dodgers signing Albert Pujols.
They're really desperate. They're really, really desperate for hitting against left-handed pitching. They really need someone. They have 13 players on the injured list. They figure he can win that. If he can win them one or two games with a late inning home run, maybe start a few games when they need him at first base, just fill in. They think the clubhouse is veteran enough to absorb him. And if he complains or if he gets disgruntled, this is I've heard this analogy made many times, but it's so true. David Freese worked in there. Chase Utley worked in there. They have a history of getting veterans who come in there and are tutors and mentors and go into the system. They're banking on him suddenly saying, I can win a ring. I'll be quiet. I don't need to play. And I think it's a no lose for them. If it doesn't do any good, they just cut him. They don't care. It doesn't cost them hardly anything.
Yeah, but my concern is he was not happy with not getting playing time with the Angels. Now he's going to be happy with not getting playing time with the Dodgers?
Well, he's on a press call today. I'm going to ask him that direct question, or somebody will ask him that question. We'll find out. That's a concern, Dan. That's a concern. But I think, again, you've seen players like this, veterans who have a chance to win a ring. The Dodgers still have the best run differential in the National League. They still have the best team in the league. I think they learn to subjugate their egos and learn to and realize it's about more than them. Where the Angels had no shot. They have no shot. Dodgers have a real shot. Maybe he'll be more of a team player there. We'll see. But that's got to be one of the first questions he's asked today in the press conference.
I'll leave you with this. If you could start your team with one, Kobe, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett.
Oh, I'm taking Kobe. I'm taking Kobe because I want to end. I want to start my team with a guy who can end the game, who will end the game, who will end the moment, who will own the moment. And Tim Duncan was great, and Garnett was great, but Kobe was a man on that. Oh, I would start with. How about you?
If it was today's NBA, then I'm going to take Kobe. But if it's back in the 80s, 90s, then I probably strongly consider Duncan. I think Duncan's underrated. He won five titles. He was MVP in the finals three times. He won two league MVPs. He was first or second, all NBA defense, 15 years, All-Star 15. Like he did everything you would ask a great player to do without any fanfare and really no signature moment. He was kind of perfect for San Antonio. I wonder though, Bill, if he played in L.A. or New York or Boston, would we be looking at Tim Duncan differently if he had this resume?
That's a great question because, a guy like Clayton Kershaw is very quiet like Duncan and just does his job. And he's revered out here. But I want the Kobe brings a Mamba mentality. I know that's such a cliche, and everybody laughs when I say it.
Yeah.
But I want my club to have the Mamba mentality. That's why I want Kobe.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's a wrong answer in there, but
I think Kevin Garnett would be a wrong answer.
Well, he had a run there where he put up, you know, like 25, 15, you know, five block shots or four block shots. Like he put up some pretty big numbers.
Yeah, he did. But he didn't have the consistency and the length of career that these other guys did. He wasn't as good as them. He just wasn't as good.
Great to talk to you. He's the star of Around the Horn.
It's your words, not mine.
And does a decent job as the columnist for the LA Times. How's that? Bill, thanks for joining us. Great to catch up with you.
Thanks. See you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences, loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Reggie Miller, Hall of Famer, Turner Sports NBA analyst. A lot to get to, Reg. Let me hit you with the early poll question that we had. McLovin, you want to give Reg the first hour poll question?
First hour poll question. Whose career would you rather have, Robert Horry or Chris Webber?
Wow. Well, that is a tough one. That's a great question. I guess seven championships kind of trumps everything, right? Is it seven or six?
Seven
championships?
Seven.
A lot of big shots for Robert Horry. But think about the culture change Chris Webber was a part of, being part of the Fab Five in Michigan, because you're encompassing the whole career, right? Not just NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. College too.
I like C. Webb's career. Obviously, he doesn't have a championship to back it up, but a hell of a career for C. Webb. You could not go wrong with either or. But seven championships ring, that's hard to turn down. That's hard.
Would you rather have Robert Horry's career or yours?
Taking mine.
Okay. All right.
I'm taking mine. I know I don't have any chips to show for it, but it was all about the struggle for me. All about the struggle to win one. And I will never change my career for anyone's, because that's, to me, that's what it was all about.
Now, is Robert Horry a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I really do believe so.
Really?
And if you think about it, you could take away a chip from Tim Duncan, and you probably could take a chip away from Kobe if it wasn't for the fact of big shots by Robert Horry. I do believe he's a Hall of Famer. And if you look at some of the guys that are currently getting in that don't have gaudy numbers, I mean, Ben Wallace was a great defender, but he doesn't have gaudy numbers. Ben Wallace is going in this year. Dikembe Mutombo, great defensive player of the year, but not gaudy numbers in the Hall of Fame. Robert Horry should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, as much as I like Ben, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, Ben Wallace. I think he was a really good player. He was a key player for, you know, some good teams. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see him as a Hall of Famer. No, I don't. Chris Bosh was a wonderful player in Toronto. He was the third person in Miami. I know health issues, but he was second team all NBA one time, and that's it. I don't know how we judge, and maybe my bar is too high here, Reg. You know, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, but I don't know. I don't want to apologize for being kind of tough on, you know, the requirements. I don't want to demean Ben Wallace. You know, Dikembe, you want to put him in the Hall of Fame? You want to put Ben in there, Boston? I mean, that's fine. I guess I'm just trying to understand the criteria here.
I think the criteria you're thinking about is in terms of other Hall of Fames, because it's very difficult to get into Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame. Very tough.
Yeah.
To get into the NFL. I think the NBA criteria of getting in is not as high. And I think they do encompass a person's body of work going back to college too. So I think when I look at Ben Wallace's career, again, not gaudy numbers, but was on great teams, championship teams in Detroit. He was the head of the snake defensively for that team. He was a couple times defensive player of the year, I believe.
Yeah.
I think he deserves. Now, again, I've gone against these guys head to head, so I'm a little biased because I've seen their body of work up close.
But is Derek Fisher a Hall of Famer?
No.
He's got five titles. Five titles. He's played in more playoff games than anybody in NBA history. He's got 2,500 more points than Robert Horry does. Made some big shots.
Yes.
So I don't know. I just throw that out there. Throw that out there. Steve Kerr's going into the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Well, man, he's got
coach and player.
Basketball. He's got eight rings.
Yeah, right? I think
five as a player, three as a coach.
He's going in as a Hall of Famer combination.
As a coach. He's going in a Hall of Famer as a coach.
Yeah.
As a coach, he'll go in as a Hall of Famer. He probably won't go in as a player.
But they would just say Steve Kerr, Hall of Famer. But they would designate him as a coach going into the Hall of Famer.
I think he'll go in as a coach, but he's still a Hall of Famer, whether you're a coach or a player.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
You're in the Hall of Fame as a media member.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know.
You're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I know. If you could start your team with Kobe, Duncan, KG.
What era, what rules?
1995.
Tim Duncan.
Okay. I said the same thing. 2015.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, that's what I said, too. Kobe would learn to, he's a student of the game. He's going to learn to be great in today's NBA. Would he be a volume three-point shooter?
Kobe?
Yeah.
He was I thought he was a great shooter anyways.
Yeah.
But, he would be a volume scorer. Because I don't want to label him as a shooter because Kobe can give you buckets. So he would be a volume scorer, as very much as he was throughout his career.
Better in-game dunker, Kobe or Jordan?
Jordan.
Man, I looked at some highlights of Kobe.
Yeah. I will say this. Kobe was probably more artistic because he had the great reverse dunks that Jordan never had. But Jordan used to embarrass you on some of them dunks. That, to me, the all-time classic Jordan dunk is the one against the Knicks in the Garden when he's going baseline, fakes the other way, and then continues to go baseline and just pipes on, I don't know if that's Patrick or I don't know who. It looked like all of the New York Knicks. That's probably my best dunk ever of Michael Jordan.
Did Jordan ever get you?
Well, I was guarding him, so he blew by me into the Davis boys and Rick Smith. So I was never under there waiting for him. So I got the wrath of it from Dale and Antonio. Like, Reg, keep him in front of you. I'm like, I'm sending him to hell. You're my help.
See, you never got posterized because you weren't the guy who was going up to try to block, right?
Absolutely not. I was smart enough. That's their job, is to protect the rim, not mine.
Did you posterize anybody with a dunk?
I'm sure there's someone I got. sure there has to be someone I got.
You should remember, like a two-hander down the lane.
Against the Knicks, yes. McLovin, Seton, look it up. Against the Knicks in the playoffs, I did. I got Charles Oakley and Charles Smith. I did. I got them in the playoffs. Yes, I did. Against the Nets, the New Jersey Nets, in the overtime game, my last year, or second to last year, that sent the game to overtime. I dunked on the whole Nets team. It's the most famous dunk of mine ever. It's my last dunk, actually.
Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, he dunked right in Kmart's mug. Kenyon Martin was trying.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Do you think that they had to be so surprised? They're like, this dude ain't jumping. Like Kerry Kittles is going, this guy can't jump.
Hold up. I was just as surprised. I couldn't believe I was up that high.
You should see Jason Kidd's face. He's like, what? What did Reg just do?
Hey, I will tell you this. When I started to go up, I heard the theme. I heard the theme music. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I'm telling you, I felt what that was going up.
You're holding on to the rim. You've never been up that high before.
Hey, and what's funny about that, Mark Jackson was at the game just to come watch us play. And I remember after the dunk and the timeout, and I'm walking back to the bench, and his seats were kind of behind our bench. And I'm walking, and he's just shaking his head. And I'm giving him one of these looks like, you remember this. You remember this, Mark. It was hilarious.
He's Reggie Miller, the Hall of Famer. How concerned would you be if you're the Lakers with Steph Curry here?
That is a nuclear bomb that can go off at any time. Look, let's face it. The Lakers are the better team. They're the bigger team. Championship experience, but so do Golden State Warriors. But Steph Curry, the way he has played all season, and especially the last 2 months, he can explode. And in a one-game series, if he gets hot, look, I will say this for the Lakers. They have a lot of wing defenders that they're going to throw at him. Dennis Schroeder, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Caruso will get some time on him. And if need be, LeBron James, if it's, you know, last possession of the possible game. So it's the Lakers to lose. They should win it. But Steph scares me.
The Lakers do well against Steph. There are two teams that seem to do well. Clippers and Lakers do well. They have length. And I think, you know, I'm going to let whoever, you know, we're going to pick somebody. If that guy gets 30, 35, fine. Right. I can't let Steph have, you know, over 35. I can't. And if it's the other guys who beat us, you know, okay. But I'm going to make sure Steph has to give the ball up a little bit.
And, you know, for the Lakers too, when Anthony Davis was in New Orleans, he used to dominate Golden State during the playoffs. And I just don't think they have a matchup for him. As great as Draymond Green is, he has given up 6 or 7 inches and a lot of length going against AD. So AD should have a field day versus Golden State. But I just don't think they have enough scoring. Unless Wiggins reverts back and gives them 25 or 30, Jordan Poole has played great coming off the bench for them. Had a career high, I believe, 38 a few games ago. I just don't think they can generate enough scoring against the number one rated defensive team in the Lakers.
But looking at the Lakers, it feels like if you don't get them early, then you're in trouble. Because I think once they get back into the rhythm here, then they're going to be less vulnerable here. Do you feel that way, or do you think the health of LeBron and Anthony Davis are going to be sort of a cloud hanging over this team, you know, the entire postseason?
I think it's always going to be a question mark. We just saw within the last 5 minutes of that Pelicans game, a little bit of a tweak to the ankle of LeBron. Now, Coach Vogel came out and said he's okay, he's good to go. But what else is he going to say? Oh, he turned his ankle again. So he's got to put that out. I think health and concern will always follow these Lakers throughout these playoffs. But it's funny how teams in the Western Conference were kind of dodging a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Not to fall in the Lakers' path.
Denver did it. The Clippers did it.
The Clippers did it. But I will say this. I feel bad for Phoenix. Because Phoenix is, I mean, great year. Chris Paul is an MVP candidate. Devin Booker has been ridiculous. Monty Williams will probably win Coach of the Year. And how are you rewarded? You've had the best record, a resurgence in the Valley of the Sun. And you were rewarded by playing the world champs, possibly, knock on wood, in the first round. Come on.
Who else is dangerous?
In the West or just in general?
Just in general. Like, just say, hey, here's a team that just keep an eye on.
Health, if they're healthy, and this is a scary first round matchup in the East, how did Milwaukee draw Miami? Miami ousted them last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They know how to play Giannis. Now, to Milwaukee's credit, I think they've done a great job of going out and getting some pieces. I think that will help them. Getting Jrue Holiday and PJ Tucker, two tough guys, two defensive-minded guys that are going to help Giannis in the playoffs. But Miami is a team that has championship aspirations. We saw them get to the finals. If they can find that shooting touch, because their defense has been really good. Bam has been playing great. Jimmy Butler has to stay healthy. He's been up and down all year with health. But when he's right, when those shooters are right, Hero and Duncan, this is a scary team to watch. It's almost a pick'em series for me. I know Milwaukee's the third seed, but to me, that's a pick'em series.
If you did your MVP vote today, who would get it?
I'm voting for Steph.
Oh, okay.
I know Jokic will win, and rightfully so. He's played every game, and he's had unbelievable numbers. He'll win it. But my MVP, no one expected Golden State, when they heard the news that Klay tore his Achilles, that they were going to be in this position. And he, think about, other than Draymond, I know Wiggins is good. Kelly Oubre got off to, who else is on this team?
Bazemore. I know.
Your number two pick, Wiseman, went down about a month and a half ago. So Steve Kerr has found ways to patchwork this team, and now they're in the play-in game. He is my MVP. His last 2 months have been ridiculous. That's ridiculous what he's done. That's a video game.
If you could have Robert Horry's career or Steve Nash's career?
Steve Nash, two-time MVP.
Yeah.
Kind of changed the game. I'm going to go with Steve Nash.
Yeah, that was my
point. I know championships are great. Don't get me wrong. But to be a baller and to be the best player on a team and to be the leader and to be a face of a nation, too, and with Canada, too, for a long while, I'm taking Steve Nash.
Okay. Robert Horry, Vince Carter.
Ooh. Now I might have to go with Rob Horry. But half man, half amazing. He started the basketball revolution along with Steve Nash for Canada when he was up in Toronto. But seven chips. I mean, Robert Horry needs to be in the Hall of Fame. I get where you're going. Robert Horry needs to be in the Hall of Fame, Theodore.
Man, but okay. Iverson, Robert Horry.
Oh, come on, stop it. Iverson.
Why? I mean,
that's easy. He's a cult hero.
Yeah, it's true.
He is a cult hero. He's like Shaq, Wilt, Steph, Jordan. They change things. They change the culture of things, the way we perceive things. I'm going with AI.
I'll leave you with this. How much of you wanted to hear Kobe give that speech Saturday?
Well, you know, we heard Jordan's speech, right? When he went, you know, he took names and went after guys.
Yeah.
I think we would have seen kind of the same thing.
You think he would have roasted the audience?
Yes. And then some.
See, and I thought he would have roasted KG and Duncan.
I think he probably would have told a story about MJ too, because I'm sure he would have asked MJ to stand up for him as well. And just see them side by side, because they will forever be linked, because they are the two best shooting guards this game has ever seen. And just to see them side by side would have been really cool because of how much Kobe looked up to his heirness. But Vanessa was fantastic.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how. I don't know how she does it. How she did it at the memorial at Staples, which was, that was too soon for me. And then this, it's, she was fantastic.
I got more emotional than she did. Like, she held her composure, and I'm going, oh, man, this is hitting me hard. Really is.
It's tough. It really is, because I'm glad we're starting to get a sense and see how Kobe was away from the court, you know, and we're getting a better glimpse of that, because all we see was win, by any means necessary, go right through you, and rightfully so, because, you know, having played against him, that's how he was. But I kind of knew Kobe away from the court, and how Vanessa and the family have kind of made him more human has been fantastic, along with Gigi. I mean, just great. Absolutely great.
Great to talk to you, bud.
You're always the best, Theodore.
We'll talk soon. Once again, you would have your career over Robert Ory's, right?
Yeah. I love you, Big Shot, but you're getting this and this. I have big shots, too. I just don't have these. I don't have these, but I can go big shot for big shot with you, okay? But can I have one of these?
You're a better shooter than Robert Ory?
Man, come on. Stop it.
Stop
it.
Like a standstill, kick out, Robert Ory, you.
Put it to you like this. He would come to me for shooting tips. Okay? And he's coming to me for shooting tips.
There's a lot of guys who would. Thank you, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You're the best, Theodore. Love you, Danette.